You gotta do that. You gotta talk trash about a team, a player, and then say, "Oh, he's on my team." I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Not talking trash. I'm just saying that some of those numbers are not sustainable. Wait, but then after that, you dropped him.
Just for a second, I dropped him because I needed to make some adjustments.
Welcome back to the Early Fantasy Challenge podcast. We've been gone a long time because there's been a three-week break from games. I've missed you all. I've missed you, Vasiliki, and I've missed you, Javi, even more because you were gone even before that. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was out for a good reason. I was interviewing Besenko, but we'll get to that later. I have a little surprise for you guys. Vasiliki, what's up?
All good, guys. Good to see you again. It's been a long time. We have some catching up to do. Let's see who we're at in rounds 25 and 26. We'll talk about our private league winners. Durad Kostic was a winner in round 25 with 202.1 credits. And Audrius Kozlauskas was even better in round 26, amounting 240 fantasy points. Congratulations, guys. Keep going. I won't say I was that good, but I didn't suck the last double round.
I got almost 160 points in round 26. Where do you think this ranks me, like, overall this week? Like, in which range was 160 points? I thought it was a good score, but it isn't, apparently. I had over 63,000 sticks ahead of me. It's crazy. And congratulations to everybody playing the game, those who stick with the... in the game, or which are the majority, more than half of the people, are really, really killing it.
I had 177 last time, which is not bad, but it was a very high-scoring week all around.
Anything that you would like to point out of what we've seen in the last double-round week?
I almost think that with the break, that those games are kind of forgotten. When building my team this week, I hardly looked at what was happening. It was more important to try and understand what's going forward. The transfer deadline for all EuroLeague teams is this week. What are we going to see? How will it affect rotations? We have seen some new guys.
There's one thing I would like to highlight from double round week, which is Kostas Loukas is back. Not back, he's playing amazing. He's playing fantastic, also in the Greek Cup.
We have been saying it in Greece for the last couple of seasons that Kostas Loukas has been really killing it at the second part of every season, because this is the time where he gets his momentum, his rhythm. 12 points, 2.4 rebounds, 6.3 assists since Lesor is out in 8 games. And he has 18.7 fantasy points, while he had 11.3 fantasy points in the 70 games before. So that's a big change.
The big game, the rivalry series game of the week, this week, round 27, is El Clásico. This is a high-pressure Clásico. Both teams lost in the Copa del Rey. Both teams are on the verge of being eliminated in the EuroLeague.
I wouldn't go as far as to say on the verge of being eliminated. There's still plenty of time to go in both those teams to find themselves even in the top six. But the bigger question, aside from all the drama around the cup, is who's gonna do what for Barcelona? Punter's hurt. Punter's out. Darrell Brizuela is hurt. It changes everything.
Someone needs to fill in a bigger role, and Satoransky can provide in the scoring and also create for his teammates. No, it's a little bit of a risky move. He costs 10 credits. He's not super expensive or super cheap. He's in the middle of the pack, but I think he deserves a chance right now, given the circumstances.
There's another game we're looking forward to this week for fantasy purposes, and that is Paris against Bayern Munich. They had an incredible game earlier this season. Both teams went well over 100, a lot of points scored. It'll be exciting to see what happens this time. And Bayern is also a team where we're still figuring out some of the pieces, guys coming back, the injury to Booker, how it will play out. So that's a game that, for fantasy purposes, I'm quite excited about.
I really expect a high-scoring game, but I really don't know how to put the pieces together. For instance, Vladimir Lucic, less than 10 credits right now.
He's on my team now. Like, he has been much needed for Bayern in the first part of the season. Now that he's back, he seems to be in a good spot after injury he has been dealing with the past couple seasons. Now he seems to be in a very good form. 16.7 fantasy points in the last 4 games, the 4 games that he has played. So I think, yeah, now it's the time.
Let me do something you don't see coming. First, I'm going to say why you shouldn't take Lucic. He has not missed a two-pointer since he's back. That's not sustainable. He's shooting almost 40% from threes. He hasn't missed a free throw. That's not sustainable. That said, he was on my team. He's staying on my team because he does all sorts of other things. So even if he starts missing a couple shots, he's only getting better. This is an all EuroLeague, do everything talent at less than 10 credits.
You cannot do that. You cannot talk trash about a team, a player, and then say, oh, he's on my team. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Not talking trash. I'm just saying that those some of those numbers are not sustainable.
Frankie, do you remember who was the last player you said his numbers and percentages weren't sustainable?
Was it Strazel?
Of course. But he keeps proving you wrong. He's still doing a great job. Go, Matt.
Wait, but then after that, you dropped him.
Just for a second. I dropped him because I needed to make some adjustments. Yeah, just and now he's back.
The problem is the second was right before the game started.
Anyway, guys, let's move on to limited trading. Let's start with budgets. Frankie, who's your favorite player? Let's say 7 credits or under.
One is Niels Giffey. He's just a steal at this price. Last 5 rounds, average BR of 10.2. He's got a carved out role. He makes some shots. Again, turn one game, the shots go in, great. If not, you move on. But for his price, absolute steal. And the other guy who I like, and I mentioned him when Devin Booker was hurt, Danko Brankovic. And since then, he's really stepped up. He has a PR of 26 and 24 minutes in the last 2 games. He just produces when he's on the court. He's going to be needed. I don't know exactly what the role, I don't know exactly what to expect this week, but for 4.8 credits on turn one, that's a great option for center.
Okay, I'm going with Freddy Gillespie of EA7 Emporio Mari Milan. Same, Josh Neal is still unavailable. He has been up and down, but I trust in his ability to rebound and block shots. That's solid PIR points right there. And at some point, he's going to have a good scoring game and his PIR is going to skyrocket, and it could be this week, 27, so we'll see. Basiliki, who do you have as a bargain option?
The option I like, the cheapest option, is Alberto Balde from Real Madrid. He has been playing for over 18 minutes per game, and he has 10 fantasy points in the last 5 on average. He costs 5.7, so I think that's maybe a good option if you don't have much credit to spend.
All right, mid-level, I'll go first, if you don't mind. I'm going with Nico Mannion of Milan. There's a lot of Milan lately in my team. Nico had a monster game against Zalgiris, but I mean, monster games, rebounds, assists, points, and I think it could be a turning point for the season for him. Also, Leo Volmaro is injured, so it makes a lot of sense to put Mannion in. Frankie, who do you have?
Levi Randolph of Maccabi Playtika Tel Aviv. He has been lights out lately in the cup games, in the Israeli league games since then. Scoring over 30 points in his last time out, he's a kind of another do-it-all player in the model of Lucic. As we get later on in the season, I think that Levi is taking a bigger role, and for 9.6 credits, he's a player who's very interesting.
The player I really like, who's in the mid level, even lower than the mid level, is Nigel Williams-Goss at 8.5 credits. He's the go-to guy to organize Olympiacos play right now. In 6 games without World Cup, he has been averaging 13.2 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 4.7 assists. Those are pretty good numbers. And with Vildoza being back from an injury, Goss won't need to play 30 minutes and be exhausted, so he will be more effective for Olympiacos.
Star players, Basiliki, again, who's your star player of the choice?
I want to highlight Sylvain Francisco at 13.6 credits, and that's because, sadly for Frankie, Lonnie Walker is no longer in the EuroLeague. He came back to the NBA with the Sixers. So this will make Francisco's role even bigger.
My concern there, honestly, is with Walker gone, that means more defensive attention also to Francisco.
I know.
And that would concern me. For me, you know, I'm happy to give most of my time to Javi after saying just 3 words. Vez for Prez.
All right, well, speaking of Vezenkov, of course I'm recommending Vezenkov. I mean, I'm gonna hold up to him unless something strange happens. Like they lock up first place and they don't need a game anymore, or he gets injured, God forbid. But I was surprised with you guys. I went to interview him as MVP of January, and I asked him specifically a question about our podcast, and here's his answer.
We have this hashtag called Best for Press, meaning that you should be the president of the game. How do you like that, to be considered the best player by everybody, basically?
you know, it's an honor, it's a pleasure, and you know, I have to keep playing. So I give, you know, it's not the most important to give points to the teams, because, as I said, the most important is my team to win and to play good. And I'm not thinking in when I'm playing, of course, but that's why I'm not taking myself in the game. Like, and that's why probably I'm terrible. But, you know, I like when people are happy because I give them points.
So how silly is that? He doesn't play himself. He doesn't, Bezenkov doesn't have Sasha, as he call him, in his own teams. I mean, how can he do well in the game without playing Sasha?
I don't know. Like, there are other good options at forward for sure. But I mean, like, man, you gotta trust yourself. And I know he does, but like, he doesn't want to think about the fantasy apart from the game itself when he plays. So it kind of makes sense in a way.
Yeah, maybe he can jinx himself or something. I don't know. But it's very strange. If I were Bethenkov, I would have Sasha in my team, like, every time, like captain, always. It's a logical thing to do. Frankie, what do you think?
Yeah, he's only limiting his own upside. But on the other hand, I think that also is a credit to him as a fantasy player, that he's able to do so well without the clear number one fantasy player and the league leader in PIR. So hats off to Sasha Vezenkov for being able to do that. But I will keep him on my team.
Yeah, me too. Well, we're kind of over time, so let's move on to our team, shall we?
So I have to take a look at my notes because there are unlimited trades, and I did a little more than usual. Starting with my head coach, Jan Sferopoulos is out and Luka Banki is in because Anadolu Efes is playing against Alba and Virtus in the upcoming rounds, and I wanted to have a little bit more of a stability with my coach, maybe keep him for more than a game and have more flexibility with my other trades the coming week. I traded Donta Hall to get Tyreek Jones from Partizan. He has been averaging more than 20 fantasy points in the last 5 games. He is a beast. There for Partizan, I think his role is given, unless he gets in foul trouble, which happens sometimes, but I think he can manage that better on. I traded Kostas Lucas, unfortunately, because as I told you, I think that maybe Pana will get an easy win against Hansville and he won't be needed to play that much. And I got Tomas Satoranski because Kevin Pander is injured and out. I also traded Filip Petrusev, which I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that, but I wanted to get another player from Panathinaikos who we haven't talked about at all, I think, in this podcast since the beginning of the season, and is Juan Chernagomez, who has been like killing it in both ends. He had 17 rebounds in the Greek Cup final against Olympiakos. Like, wow. And he has been averaging 19.2 in the last 5 games. He also rested during the break because he didn't play with Spain. So that's also a factor that I kind of thought. I also got Nigel Williams-Goles, as I told you, in the place of Brithwella because he is doubtful for the moment. Vladimir Lucic is in and Yanni Wedzel is out and Alberto Abalde is in and Tim Schneider is out. I wanted to get rid of these two Alba players, so I think I upgraded them as much as I could. What about you, Frankie?
In the first, I like your team.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I like it because I traded it like 20 times last night.
I have to say that Lucas is a very good option. He's never been MVP of the month. It's 2-0. He had good numbers.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll find that extra motivation to go for it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I will think about that. I haven't thought about that.
I
thought about it before the break, but now I forgot.
I really like Wancho. It's 13.5 credits and there's no one's questioned his ability to score, but the rebounding he's put up the last couple rounds,
yeah.
Basically since the Sor got hurt, then Juancho's really stepped up his rebounding, and that's made him a far more important or more dominant fantasy player. A player I considered and still will consider. I don't know the changes I'm about to present to you are going to be what my final team looks like, but for now, I liked my previous team. There was a moment where I almost thought, hey, I'll just keep him. I got 177 points last time and let me roll with it. But I'm making five changes. We all understand why I'm cutting Kendrick Nunn.
because he doesn't play in Raqqa.
That's right.
This week.
Home nun is the best nun. So why pay full price for someone who's not the best nun? Dario Brizuela, who is an absolute steal at his price, except injury concerns. John Brown, we all know I'm a John Brown guy, but I had to make some moves. Freddie Gillespie, who I explained before that I had concerns about how the front court might shake up at Milan. And the player who really I've become really attached to, and it was hard for me to say goodbye to, David McCormick. What a player I love watching every time I watch Oliver Berlin. He is so much fun. It's a concerning matchup this week at FS, two athletic big men against him. He got into some real foul trouble last time, which stopped him from having a monster game against Zvezda. And I just felt like at FS, it wasn't a risk I wanted to take. How am I filling up those five players? Well, like I said, Nigel Williams-Goss, I think a lot of people are going to have him. Malte Delio, that was my cheap guy to bring on. Zach Lede, who, again, I was trying to figure out the Milan front court, and I'm leaning towards Lede having a big game, but I could change that. But Lede has been one of the star players this season. Very expensive also, which is what concerns me. I mean, there's the opportunity to also go with Juancho there and get more credits, but elsewhere. But for now, I'm leaning towards Lede. And at centers, Brankovic, who I mentioned before, and Joe Bolombi, who's been also red hot the last few months and last few rounds, and is leading the league in rebounding, and a player I'm comfortable with.
Well, my headline would be, I traded everybody but Dezenkov, which is exactly what I did. So I'm going to list the list of players that I got rid of, and then I explain a little bit who I got, right? Because otherwise it's going to go forever. Ofko, Milutinov, I have to read because there's so many. Milutinov, Shangelia, Arthur, I mean, James Forrest, Kendrick Nunn, Hasil Rivero, Bellinelli, Da Silva, Richie, Brizuela, and Lasso, the coach, everybody out. But Bezenkov, best for Preston. I'm going strong at the center. Maybe you'll disagree, but I'm getting Walter Tavares because he always plays well against Barcelona, and I think Madrid is going to win the Clásico. I'm Bolomboy for the reasons that Frankie said. I'm also getting Jana Musa. He played really well in the Fiora windows, and I really think that could actually change the season. The fact that Kevin Panther isn't around gives them also, I think, more space on offense. Panther is a really good defender. Carson Edwards, expecting a high-scoring game, Paris against Bayern. Mannion, for the reasons I said before. I'm getting also Williams-Goss, for what Vasiliki said. And then Abrines, because if Rifela doesn't play and Panther is for sure out, it has to play, extended playing time. Viverovic, who is also up and down, but I trust that he can have a good game. And Lakic, because I have no more money, and he at least is one of a four-credit player that plays with, of course, Luka Banki as a coach with the Alba rule. That's my team.
I'm glad we are sticking to our principles, which is rest for press and the Alba rule.
Yeah,
we'll go strong with that.
Not all exactly, of us. That's... Not all of us.
Yeah, okay. You have been inclining from the second rule, but okay, you'll get there at some point.
Okay, so what do we have? Okay, we're forgetting captains. And captains are important. Remember, 1.5 times their value. Who do you have as captain, guys?
One of the reasons that I liked having Lede on my roster this week is because of the turn one concept, because I have a lot of heavy hitters there in turn two. So I have Zach Lede as my turn one captain. And in turn two, I have Bezenkov.
Okay, Javi?
I have Musa as first option as captain. I really think he's going to have a good game. But, you know, last time I trusted Musa, you know what happened. That he got a negative score. And I remember Frankie telling me what a great option this is. And then, of course, he jinxed everything. So, but I'm going with Musa again. Please, Frankie, shut up. Don't say anything. And, of course... I'm getting best for press as my second option, just in case everything goes wrong. Frankie, say it. I know you want to say it.
Don't say it. What, don't say it, Frankie.
Not saying it. Just a question. What is the price that you keep Musa? What does he have to do for you to keep him as captain?
25? Because I really think, and this is another thing, what if Shengelia stops Bezenkov? He's the kind of player that he can actually... And Polonari is also a good defender. What happens if Bezenkov doesn't play well? We
I don't
are
think
all,
Sasha
we are all the same
will
group.
Have a problem. Yeah. I don't think so.
Let me just say, when it comes to Vezenkov, everyone throws out these stats. He scored how many points without taking a dribble? How are these guys going to stomp him if he's just coming off a pick, getting a and hitting a catch and shoot shot? It's not like he's backing them down and getting. How are you going to double team him there? He is defense proof, right? As long as he's moving off the ball and they're getting the ball in the shots, how can you stop a player like that?
Sure. Well, Vasiliki, what do you have?
So I think for turn one, I will go with Eric McCollum, which I have for the last two, three rounds, I think. And he has been really, really good for Fenerbahce. So I will go with him. He plays in turn one. And for turn two, of course, I will go with Sasha, most probably, even though I have Juancho as well. But I think I will stick with Sasha for obvious reasons, because we all know what we're getting with Sasha.
All right, well, that's the end of the show. Guys, anything to add?
I just need to add that, because I don't think I mentioned it previously, that I have Theo Maladar on my team because I'm a Theo guy.
You said you're a John Brown guy and you kicked him out, so...
Wait, can we?
I don't think that line works anymore.
Can we be like, I'm also a David McCormick guy. We could like have a lot of guys that we like. I'm a John Brown guy also.
It's ancient history, but you were a Nino Dimitrijevic girl. And now we're recommending,
yes.
We're recommending Mannion, so it is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dimitrijevic didn't prove me right at the beginning of the season, and he hasn't been providing much for money, but I hope better days will come for him.
Who was the point guard who I recommended at the beginning of the season?
Tamir Vlat.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, pretty well. Apart from the injuries, pretty well.
But when pretty well in the beginning.
That's what I recommended in the beginning. I'm not recommending it this week.
All right. Well, guys, like I said, Frankie, anything to add? If not, wrap it up, please.
This week's Rivalry Series game of the week is El Clasico, Real Madrid against FC Barcelona. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great game. It's one of 9 great games this week, 5 on Thursday, 4 on Friday. So catch them all on EuroLeague TV. Aside from that, we remind you the podcast is available not only on YouTube, but wherever podcasts can be downloaded. So please listen, share, tell your friends. Help us grow the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge message. It was hard to be away for 3 weeks. We're happy to be back, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.